This is a subject I've spoken on. I mean, I've been an elder for over 30 years and, you know, haven't been a pastor much of that time. But I've given sermons on this topic so many times, probably because I need it. But I think it's something I probably should be good to address today, because it's good for us to think about this from time to time, because, quite frankly, our words, my words, and probably, if you're like me, your words get you in trouble sometimes, because it's so easy to say things that we would just as soon change and wish we hadn't said. Now, I could go on the entire sermon of mistakes I've made with my words, but you know, there's a saying, and I think I gave a similar beginning, but I'm going to handle this a different attack a little bit this time. But there's that old saying, my mother used to say this, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And of course, that's not a very true statement, because sometimes words will really hurt. In fact, words are powerful. And I think I'd like today to talk about, I've got my title here, closer look at the words we speak. Now, again, I'll try not to be moving my arms around. I'll try to be as quick, close as I can, but I'll try to speak up. Sometimes that gets easier said than done. But let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, because I think it's a good place to start when we look at this subject, which is a subject that everybody probably can look at this subject and think of the examples of times where we struggled in this area. And we also can look at this and see times when others have offended us by things that are said. But in Psalm 19, I just want to read one verse here. It's a Psalm of David. It's verse 14. I think it's a good place to start. It said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart. So if something's in our heart, it's going to come out of our mouth at some point. Now again, we're all human beings. We all make mistakes. None of us are anywhere close to perfect. But what's in our heart, usually, eventually, it's going to come out of our mouth. Sometimes they're good things, and other times they're things that would be just as well to keep to ourselves. But David here, here's King David. He had this problem. He said, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Who? O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So here's David understood this. Now, I'll give you a story. Obviously, it's not copyrighted or anything. It's just a story I heard. I won't use names because, quite frankly, I don't even know all the names. But I'll tell you a situation here. An ex-substitute teacher. Now, to be a substitute teacher is one of the most thankless jobs in the world, because when the substitute teacher is there, sometimes the regular students tend to take advantage of the substitute teacher. I mean, even when I went to school back in the dark ages, I remember that. And substitute teachers don't get paid that well. But here's this substitute teacher in Chicago. It's where the place happened to be. And he was in the Chicago school district, and he was trying his best to control this very unruly fourth grade class that he was teaching. Now, the classroom had erupted in shouting and fighting, and there was all types of chaos going on. And kids were darting in and out of the room even. But he was a substitute teacher, so, hey, take advantage of the substitute teacher is the way they were thinking. So he blocked the doorway, and he scolded the offenders who were causing most of the racket. And you know how mob control can take over. I wouldn't say this is a mob, but, you know, group control can just take over. And he told these the offenders that he was going to report them to the principal. Sounds like a logical thing to do. Seemed like a logical way to get back control of the class. So one spiteful 9-year-old, in this particular case, it was a girl, it could have just as easily been a boy, but in this particular case, this little 9-year-old girl, she had other plans. She was angry at being disciplined, as were others, but she made up a story that the teacher molested her. Then she bribed 10 of the other students, a dollar each, bribed them for a dollar each to say and back up her allegation that this teacher had molested her. Now, unaware or unconcerned of the havoc that this could cause, those kids, they weren't really thinking a whole lot about it. They were just glad to get their dollar. And this little girl was not happy that she was disciplined. Well, each of the kids repeated this lie that the teacher had molested this young girl. The teacher was immediately suspended. So a police investigation soon ensued and uncovered the truth of the story that this teacher had done nothing. He had done nothing to the young girl. And then the girl later confessed that her story was concocted out of her desire to get back at this teacher, the substitute teacher. And she identified what she had done, and then they talked to the other 10 students that backed up her story, and they all confessed. Nevertheless, some of the parents were not happy because their precious little child couldn't have done this, so they took it to the school board. They still wanted to press charges even against this teacher that he had molested this girl, and that their children were accused of lying, which their children even admitted it. So in other words, the teacher was guilty and proven innocent. Even after being proved innocent, because of the children's fabricated testimony and the fact that the parents did not, they backed up the story even though it wasn't true, and even though they admitted it wasn't true, the teacher was called in and he resigned. He resigned from teaching. He called it a nightmare, what he went through. In fact, he decided to leave teaching altogether. And the quote I heard, I won't say it's a quote, but it was basically what he said, and that is, my reputation soiled. I don't care, basically said, where I might go in the school system. People are going to know about this and think I'm a molester. Now, this worldly-wise, I guess you could say worldly-wise little girl, boy, got this teacher in a lot of trouble. Now, all children, and they should, know about sexual abuse. They should know this, and it should be reported, certainly. But in this particular case, it wasn't even remotely true. Because of that, the teacher, the substitute teacher, he left teaching altogether and said, I don't want to have anything to do with teaching because, quite frankly, this will follow me around everywhere I go. Now, the inflammatory power of the tongue is exactly what James, and we're not going to turn to James right now, we'll at the end of the sermon, what James was thinking about when he, in James 3, verse 5, we'll look at that later, but he basically says in there that the tongue can light a spark that could burn down a forest. Could it? Well, it sure did mess that teacher's life up, did it not? Now, over in Psalm 52, three verses from Psalm 52. Because I think these three verses represent what we're talking about here. Now again, this is a very uncommon situation, what happened. So don't think in any way we think this is prevalent. But I believe things are getting more and more, shall we say, bizarre or more threatening as time goes on. And in Psalm 52, verse 2, 3, and 4, how does this apply to what happened to this teacher? These are the words of David, a man that had trouble with his mouth sometime, did he not? Verse 2 says, your tongue, and think about what this happened to this teacher, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. It was all a big lie. Now again, I'm not in any way trying to downplay these things happen sometimes and should be reported and dealt with, but this was nothing but a lie, like a sharp razor blade across his wrist or whatever you want to call it. You love evil more than good. That was all evil what they said about him, was it not? And lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Now, I'm not saying or even implying or thinking that, you know, we here have more trouble with our tongue than anywhere else. Hey, it's been something I've seen about myself my entire life, how words can get me in trouble and things said without really thinking. Sometimes I've said things in my life that people will remember it maybe for good, thinking, well, wow, what kind of person is he? Well, I'm a person just like you are that needs God's forgiveness and wants to be in the kingdom of God and wants to try to make things right when he does things wrong. And I think that's what probably each of you in here would say. But yet, boy, can we get in trouble. And boy, can we get, I mean, I've said this before probably, but I remember when I was in the third grade, this kid in the lunch line came up to me, got right in my face and said, "We don't like you." Well, he probably forgot that 5 minutes later. Here I am, a few years later, still remembering it. Because when we say things, it's hard to take it back sometimes, is it not? Proverbs 18, one verse in Proverbs. We're going right back to Psalms, so sort of keep your place in Psalm. But Proverbs 18, verse 21. Life, or actually death, and life are in the power of the tongue. Hey, someone can lie on a courtroom stand and cause a person to even go to death sometimes. It could happen. I'm sure it's happened more than we like to think. Or people have been convicted of crimes that they didn't do. Now, again, a lot of times, more often, I'm sure, they are guilty. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit, whether we love to be honest, whether we love to be flippant, or even a liar, we're going to eat the fruit of that. Because wrong and ugly words are a fact of life in our society today. It's just a fact of life. Turn on the TV. Are there not angry words thrown all over the place? They're entire TV channels just for gossip about celebrities. And everybody wants to know what the latest celebrity is doing. Nobody's too concerned about what the fireman is doing. Or the teacher, because it's not as exciting, is it? The internet is saturated with snarky comments about people. Psalm 15. Here's a psalm that we sing quite often. In fact, when I read the first few words, you'll know exactly the tune of the hymn. Psalm 15. Psalm of David, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? God is holy. Now, we're not holy. We strive to be holy, but we need God's forgiveness, do we not? We need God's mercy. We have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and not a one of us would have a chance otherwise. But then he answers the question. The answer to the question of who will dwell on your holy hill, he or she, boy or girl, man or woman, boy or girl, he who walks uprightly, who works righteousness, who speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes of I mean, this is what God wants from us, and every single one of us falls short from time to time. But yet, don't we want, and I know we do, but don't we want to dwell in God's holy hill, to be in God's tabernacle, God's kingdom? Of course we do. You know, James 3 talks about the tongue can be like a ravenous wolf. It's amazing what it can do. Matthew 15. Because I'm going to look at some things here that probably thought about it, but I want to approach this from a little different angle, as I've had a lot of time to read more, well, I won't say a lot of time, but more time than normal to read during this lockdown. And, you know, it's oftentimes in my life when I've had a lot of free time, which doesn't seem to be too often, but I've wasted it many times. But I do feel that I've spent my time a little more wisely during this lockdown the other times, because I've spent a lot of time reading, I've spent a lot of time thinking, and I feel I've spent a lot of time praying. But yet, you know, I'm way short. You're probably saying the same thing about yourself. In Matthew 15:11, you know this scripture, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man. And yet some people will turn that around to say, he's talking about you can eat anything you want, it doesn't matter whether you eat snakes or whatever you want to call it. It's not talking about that, is it? Notice, not what goes in a mouth defiles a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, but what comes out of the mouth defiles it. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to leave a room knowing that no one would say anything unkind about you? You know, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be kind? Wouldn't it be encouraging? Psalm 34, then I want to take a look at something more specific, but Psalm 34, one other scripture here, verse 12 and 13. Who is the man? Another Psalm of David. It even tells when he wrote this, when he pretended madness in front of Abimelech. But verse 12 and 13. In fact, I'm going to read verse 11 through 13. Verse 11. Come, you children. Are we not all children of God? Come, you children, listen to me. Here's David talking. He's talking to God, too. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is it? Who is the man, or who is the woman, who is the boy, who is the girl who desires life and loves many days, that he, she may see good? Hey, didn't mean we're going to live to be 100, but it means this is how we show God we want to be in the kingdom of God. We don't, by our great works, we obviously strive for works, but we aren't saved by how perfect we are, because every one of us would fail. But if you love many days and want to see good, notice, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Now, what exactly is an evil tongue? Because it talks about an evil tongue. Now, in the Hebrew, the word for an evil tongue in Hebrew is Lashon Hara. Now, I doubt if I have any Hebrew scholars in here. If you are, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but you really don't know. I may be pronouncing it right for all I know, but it looks like Lashon Hara. Now, in the Hebrew language, this word for an evil tongue means it covers all types of gossip, all types of slander, and all types of malicious speech. In fact, here's something I think we know, but it's good to point out. The Hebrew language, which the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament, of course, is in Greek. The Hebrew language has 8,000 words. You know, not 8,000 exactly, but approximately 8,000 words. Now, the English language has over 400,000 words. So sometimes a word in Hebrew may have more meanings, can be, more varied readings, meanings, I should say, than the Greek. Greek and English, English from the Greek, is more specific, right down to a point. But the Hebrew word, Lashon Hara, in Hebrew language, covers all types of gossip, all types of slander, and all types of malicious speech. So, as I said, the Hebrew word will have more varied meanings sometimes than the English word does. Luke chapter 6, because we're going to look at this word, Luke chapter 6, verse 45. know this scripture too. One of the reasons this may kind of go in and out is this podium sort of rocks. It's my excuse anyway. A good man, good woman, good boy, good girl, out of the good treasure of their heart brings forth good. And an evil man, evil woman, evil boy, evil girl, out of the evil treasure in his heart, or her heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, Orthodox Judaism, and, you know, we admire what the Jewish people went through, and have gone through. We're not, obviously not Jewish. But Orthodox Judaism has focused its attention on ethics of speech. And there is actually, for Orthodox Judaism, there is an 800 hotline you can call. And when you call this hotline, the rabbi will answer, and you can ask the rabbi if it's proper to say something. Now, again, I'm just not saying that's what we need to do, call that hotline. But they do tend to, you know, look a little deeper in this subject than sometimes the English people do. Now, Jesus himself employed a number of rabbinic idioms in his ministry. And you can see it all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He did it quite often. But he employed a number of rabbinic idioms for different types of evil speech, as we call it. Again, evil meaning this Lashon Hara, which is translated evil speech. For instance, to make lies about another in order to defame them is called Mot Zeshem Ra, which is another form of this word, Lashon Hara. Now, Jesus used this phrase to prepare his disciples for a difficult mission. We're over in Luke 6, if you haven't turned away yet. Let's look at verse 22 of Luke 6. See what it says here about this phrase of evil speech. Luke 6:22. Says, blessed are you when men hate you. Now again, this is exactly basically the same thing as Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. But blessed are you. Do you like it when somebody hates you? Well, if they hate you because you're striving to do what's right, God says don't be afraid. He'll right the wrong someday. He says, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil. Because they'll say, oh, that person, that's it. That's an old sundowner or something like that. He goes, what does he do on Friday night? Now, this form of this word is basically saying to put out a bad name about a person. Remember how it says, don't be afraid if they make fun of you for being a Christian? You know, slander is considered one of the most, I guess you could say, evil sins of speech. A person who will smear one person will usually smear others. I'll give you an example. Think about this. We can all see wrongness in slander. That's pretty obvious, telling lies about others. But believe it or not, and I think you will and do, we can also do great damage to others without even lying. What do I mean? Well, the Hebrew phrase, Lashon Hara, which means an evil tongue, doesn't just include telling lies about others. In fact, this phrase is more commonly used to describe the practice of just telling negative truths about others that are unnecessary and damaging. You know, there are a few times when a person really needs to relay damaging information, and they should, just like there's plenty of cases. There are cases that, I mean, I'll just use an example for me. There are times I need to know if something evil is going on. But I'm not the police department, nor do you think I am. But I don't need to hear every little thing about what you don't like about somebody. Because we're all in this together as Christians. I don't need to hear that. But yet, can we not work together? And I'm not saying we don't, but I'm just asking us to think about that. And there's, for instance, there's a number of times when a person needs to relate to having some information, I said, but outside of specific cases, this kind of negativity is frowned upon in the Bible. For instance, we can justify our words like, well, I didn't say anything untrue. Well, maybe not. But remember the golden rule states that you wouldn't do something to want something done to others that you don't want done to you. If you would be hurt and embarrassed by someone telling someone else your flaws, which we all have, revealed, would you really want other people sharing that? You know, over the years, I'm not saying here, say, but over the years I've had people just tell me things about other people that quite frankly, what does it usually do? Trying to exalt themselves about things. So why do we gossip about others? Well, one of the major reasons is our desire to elevate ourselves, is it not? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done. And hey, we all break this rule from time to time. Didn't make it right, but we all break this rule from time to time. Well, look at it. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Over the years when I worked out in the business world, usually the person that bragged the most about how great they were doing, you kind of wondered, because oftentimes it was just trying to inflate themselves. But let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but check this one out here. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than him or herself. And that's hard to do, is it not? Let each of you look out. And again, we're supposed to look out for our own interests. We're not a Casper Doughboy where we're just supposed to be run over back and forth by a truck, figuratively speaking. But let each one of you look out not only for his own or her own interests, so we're supposed to look out for our own interests, but also for the interest of others. For the interests of others. I'll tell you a story about habitual gossip that finally decided to repent of this. So they went to a pastor and the pastor told this person to go home and bring back a feather pillow. So they brought back to this pastor a feather pillow. And when he came back, it was a he. So that breaks it down. So you women are safe. But I'll tell you, it didn't happen here. But they told this pastor, who were named anonymous, told them to the man to slice open this feather pillow. Now, it was a windy day, and the feathers went all over the place. And then the pastor said, now go gather all those feathers up. And the man said, that's impossible. And he was told, yes, in the same way, it's impossible to repair all the damage you have done with the words you were doing to certain people. So, it's just something for all of us to think about, myself, right at the forefront, I'm talking to myself, but when we really rip people up and say things about people, that just, is this really profitable? We see it in the world continually, and it's something to think about. Remember when Jesus compared, anger to murder, and when he compared lusting to adultery, he was trying to emphasize the gravity of these sins, how they can completely just go into serious, serious consequences. Mark Twain, quote from Mark Twain. He said, it takes your enemy and your friend working together to hurt you to the heart. The one to slander you and the other to get the news to you. It takes your enemy and your friend working together to hurt you to the heart, the one to slander you, the other to get the news to you, to tell you this person was saying this about me, blah, blah, blah. Sirach 19:10, which is in the Jewish pseudepigrapha, it's not in the Bible, but a quote, It's Sirach, S-I-R-A-C-H, 19, verse 10. It says, have you heard something? Let it die with you. Be brave. It will not make you burst. Now, often this phrase, Lashon Hara, or an evil tongue, oftentimes in the Bible it's compared to murder, not physical murder, but what Christ said, to not have that murder, anger, hatred in your heart. It's the murder of three people when you see this going on. Obviously, the object of the gossip is one victim, but the listener that hears this gossip is also a victim because his or her relationship with the one being gossiped about is negatively affected, is it not? Also, the listener is tempted to share the rumor with somebody else. The third victim is the speaker. Over time, as people realize that a gossip cannot be trusted, they distance themselves to avoid being betrayed. It's like slow suicide, because if someone is telling you or telling me about things about somebody else, you can be sure they're telling other people about you. You can count on it almost every time. I can remember in school and I can remember at work that those who are always talking about others so much, do you not think they also talk about you? Believe it or not, you can commit a sin of speech without even saying a word. What do I mean? Well, a raised eyebrow in disdain, or a curled lip in disgust, unmistakably communicates your ill opinion of someone else. In rabbinic parlance, they call it avak lashon hara, which is called the dust of an evil eye. What's the dust of an evil eye? Well, let's take a look at this. Now, I'm not going to turn to it. I'm going to read a verse from the Message, which I don't usually use because I don't really like it in the New Testament, but it's pretty good in the Old Testament. But the Message, Proverbs 18:21, has this verse for Proverbs 18:21. It said, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit you choose. Either poison or fruit you choose. Now, another kind of speech that you may not have thought about much is called halabat panam, which is called the whitening of the face. The whitening of the face. And what this means is to humiliate someone in public. I remember going to a spokesman's club once, and a man had a speech. It was not a bad speech, but the evaluator, he ripped this speech apart. And he made this poor man feel so unnerved that the next man that had a speech, which quite frankly wasn't as good a speaker as far as, you know, polish as the one that got evaluated so harshly, and quite frankly, it got the second man that was speaking so confused that he just almost had a, the word's not meltdown, but his speech just got way off the mark. So I had to the best I could, try to repair the situation. But when we've got a spokesman's club, we don't really need to be looking for all the flaws in a person's speech. We want to encourage them. But we do want to point out areas that we all can improve in, of course. But there's an old saying that states, the pain of humiliation is more bitter than death. The pain of humiliation is more bitter than death. Now, this is just a saying. The Jewish Talmud has the quote, one place it says, one should rather fling himself into a fiery furnace than humiliate someone in public. Rather than an overstatement, you get the point. It's an overstatement, but it's just a point. Now, I guess the Jewish people sometimes are more sensitive to this because over the centuries they have been blamed for a lot of things. And I remember my parents, I had wonderful parents, but they would complain. I mean, we were just a Protestant denomination. They'd complain about the Protestant No, they wouldn't. They would never complain about the Protestant church, although there are all types of various areas of the Protestant church. But they complain about the Catholic church and even more particularly the Jews. What do you think happened when I started going to church on Saturday? But the Jews have a long list of rules, and I'm sure they don't always follow them perfectly either, to prevent of shaming of others. In fact, they say a husband should never insult or correct his wife in front of others and vice versa. They say a teacher should not ask a student a question that in front of the class that they know that the student doesn't know the answer of. Again, hey, we all break this policy from time to time, but it's some things. But I find this interesting, even in death. I don't know if it's always followed, but even in death, many, many Orthodox Jews are buried in a plain wooden box in a simple white garment. Why? Because they say that the poor, they do not want the poor to be humiliated by the fact that they have an inability to afford an elaborate funeral. When I was in the eighth grade, had a situation once where someone on the blackboard, some student had done something. They'd thrown something on the blackboard, got it all messed up, and I don't know who did it or what, but it just so happens when the teacher was mentioning this, for whatever dumb reason, I just happened to bend down under my seat to get something out from under my desk. And the teacher immediately said, "Martin, you did it, didn't you?" Well, I didn't even know what he was talking about. But you know, that teacher never, ever was nice to me. He never seemed to realize that I didn't not only do it, but didn't even know what they put up on the blackboard. But you know how these things happen. We're all human, but these things continue to happen. Now, there's another way that you can sin through your lips without actually stating a single word, a single untrue word. It's called jene bat da'at. You know that's not right, but it's close. But it's called stealing knowledge. Let's take a look at this for a minute. Stealing knowledge. It's like dealing with someone, trying to fool someone into a mistaken assumption, belief, or impression. Let me give you a couple examples. And not even saying a lie, per se, in some cases. Like a shopper. A shopper goes to buy something in a store, and the sales rep knows this thing that the person is going to buy is defective in a certain way, but doesn't say anything about it being defective, but just sells it. Well, he or she may have sold it, but they knew there was a flaw in there somewhere. I know that sometimes you'll see these stores, they'll raise a price where they can lower it soon after and put down there about this huge savings you could get, when actually the savings really may not have been that much. I'll have a situation I'll tell you, which we're getting toward the close here, so you can relax. But I'll tell you something happened to Penny and I just a couple weeks ago, and I kind of hate to even tell you this, but it just shows how you can be taken in. I got a phone call one day, or I got a text, I should say, from DirecTV. And DirecTV told me that there was a special sale they had going, and we could get a special discount on DirecTV for the next 2 years if we would call them back. So Penny called them, and boy, it says DirecTV, and then it plays music when you're waiting for the sales rep, and they told her that they had a certain program going on, a certain sale, that if you would buy 4 months of, it sounded too good to be true, because it was too good to be true, but it said if you would pay for 4 months of DirecTV, all you had to do was go down to Kroger. They said don't go to Walmart, but a couple places, Kroger and a couple of Best Buy, and buy $240 of eBay cards. And you call them back, and they would give you, see, it's paying like 4 months in advance, and then they were going to lock this in. Then they also told Penny, see, it's all Penny's fault. I'm too sharp for this. Not really. I'm the one that started this mess. But anyway, they said, what also we're going to do is we're going to send you a $50 gift certificate from a Visa or Visa or MasterCard if you'll go down there and do that today. Well, it was late in the afternoon, and Penny looked at me, and I said, no, we tell them we'll do it tomorrow. And so they said, well, if you do it today, we're going to give you a $100 Visa card. So we all hopped on down to Kroger and bought our two, you know where this is heading, bought our two eBay cards. Penny called them up, and, you know, DirecTV, blah, 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 they said, well, we can't seem to find that number. And then they told us that we had, there were two different eBay cards. You have the wrong color, they text Penny the right color. If you go back down there tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to give you, and it was some incredible amount of money. Like, well, we didn't go then, but we're going to go the next day. And then Penny thought, maybe I should check this out to make sure this isn't a scam. It was a scam. It was a total scam. Now, when I see people that treat other people like that, especially when it's me, don't you just get, what kind of a human being is that? You know, I got our MasterCard has been violated over 10 years, four times that I know of, and our MasterCard company has been real good. They've caught it every time. But one time they called me and asked me if we had just booked a flight to Abu Dhabi. Well, we don't fly to Abu Dhabi too often. In fact, I don't even know where Abu Dhabi is. But again, how stupid. Well, we were pretty stupid. We fell for the DirecTV thing, which of course wasn't DirecTV. It was some, and then the next, they kept calling me the next day. They called me about 5, 6, 7 times. I never would answer the phone. Finally, Penny answered and just said, we're under your tricks, and just hung up. We lost $240. Hey, that's not the end of the world. But what a scam. Why do people do things like that to other people? And you're saying, why are you too dumb to figure it out? Well, I remember when we moved, this is off the subject, but we're almost finished anyway. But I remember when we moved to our new home, they had a special thing down at not the clubhouse, because we don't have a clubhouse, but down by the pool to welcome new members or new people live in the neighborhood. And then somebody had come by and wanted to sell us some meat. And it seemed like, I don't know what's a good price and what's not, but I got Penny out there and she said, yeah, it's a pretty good price. So then they gave us all this meat. And because it's getting close to Days Unleavened Bread, we thought, well, we can use some of it for the night to be remembered, which not this year, the year before. And but when we're at that little get together, all these people are talking about some people that are always trying to be scammed. And this one guy, I'll never forget, he said, "Yeah, some old guy came by trying to sell us meat. Who would be stupid enough to buy that meat?" I said, "Well, actually, that's us." Isn't it sad that in this world, we have people out there that's just out to try to take advantage of other people and don't really care? Well, that's the word we've been looking at today. It's basically evil is how people are treated. Now, you and I, we could be guilty of things like this. What if you say you want to buy a new computer and you knew you were going to buy it online, but you go down to Best Buy or wherever, you know, any of those places on the computer, and ask the sales rep all these questions that you knew you weren't going to buy the computer, but you wanted to get all this information where you know what you're doing, because oftentimes on these online, they don't give you that good of information, and you didn't even know that you weren't going to buy that computer. That's just one example. There's a thing, as we wrap up here, there's a thing, as you know, called Pilates. And it's, of course, it's an exercise program focusing on strengthening your abdominal muscles. Many of you know that. Some of you don't. I know what it is, but I don't really do any Pilates. But you certainly have a sore midriff for the first few sessions, but if you continue, it gets easier, doesn't it? Well, let's consider this about doing a Pilates on our tongue. I'm not giving this sermon because of any specific thing here, but I think we can all learn lessons. Now let's, as we close, let's turn to James chapter 3. The letter of James, chapter 3. Let's look at a few verses here. James 3, beginning in verse 5. Breaking into a section here. But in verse 5 of James 3 says, "Even so the tongue, it's a little member." It's a very small part of our body, isn't it? It's a little member. But it boasts great things. It can really get you in trouble. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And I mentioned that right early in the sermon. The tongue is a fire, it says. It's a world of iniquity. Boy, so much of what's going on in this world today, so much of what's going on in our country today, so much of what's going on in our society today, is caused by the words people are saying to each other and arguing and fighting and not having any room to compromise. Because oftentimes we see if we compromise, then we're not only compromising, we're just losing ground and then the person wants more. But yet, we need to look at ourselves and make sure we're not a part of this. And again, I think we'll... let's enter an encouraging note here, because you think, I think when I give this sermon, I'm thinking, man, look at all the times that I've messed up. Verse 7. Every kind of beast, every kind of bird, every kind of reptile, and all the creatures of the sea, they're tamed. Man has been able to tame all these creatures. Sometimes it's by putting them in a cage, but mankind's tamed them. But they've been tamed. But verse 8, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl can tame the tongue, because it gets us in all kind of problems, doesn't it? It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Think of the ways we can hurt each other with our tongue. But here are the two verses that I think we need to think about. Well, first of all, no one can tame it. We can work on it. Nobody's going to be perfect in this life, but it sure is important to do a Pilates on our tongue. With it, with our tongue, we bless God and Father. Oh, we talk about, human beings talk about how much they love Jesus, how much they love God. That's good. And with it, we curse men. Some of the things that are said about mankind, about each other, is just plain demonic, isn't it? Who've been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Again, it's a lifelong project, working on the words we say. So it's an issue we all deal with. Let's face it, none of us can control it. None of us are batting 100%. But are we working at it? That's all I'm trying to say. A couple final verses. One is over in Psalm 39. You know, we've all been apart for quite a while now. Early March. Wow, it seems like such a long time and such a short time. And now we're slowly trying to dig our way out of you know, being locked in at home and not being able to see each other. And it's a wonderful thing to see each other. And it's a blessing we're able to be here. But in Psalm 39, another Psalm of David, just reading verse 1. I said, David speaking, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. It's like what they put on a dog that bites people. David says, I don't want to be this way, and I don't think any of us do. But yet we're human. We all make mistakes. But let's think about striving with our words. Final scripture, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I'm hoping, since he's been to two services today, Marita has this down now. You got it figured out now? Now, Penny's been twice too, so I may not get a Father's Day gift. By the way, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, including me. How does it feel to be a father? They'll take care of you. You'll probably get breakfast in bed tomorrow. I won't, so if you do, you're ahead of me. People online, they don't know who I'm talking about. Okay, Matthew 12, verse 33 to 37. I'll close with this. Matthew 12, 33. Here's Jesus Christ speaking. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. We Christians are known by our fruits. None of us have perfect fruit, but we're known by our fruits. He says, snakes, he's talking to the Pharisees here. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Speaking of these religious hypocrites. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, good woman, good boy, good girl, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings forth good things. And an evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. We all say things we regret. But are we working? Are we apologizing? But I say to you, here's Jesus Christ's words, not me. I'll close with what Jesus said. I say to you, every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now it says in 1 Peter that if we're a Christian, we're being judged now. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned or judged in a harsher manner. So I think all of us, we want to please God. We want God to be pleased with us, and God is an amazing, forgiving God. Well, let's take some time this week to think about those that are struggling. Think about those that aren't able to come to services because of health or other issues. Those that are sick. Those that are struggling health-wise. Those that are struggling financially. I'm sure there's a lot of financial issues through this. We are a family that wants God to be proud of us. And we thank God for his mercy and the kindness that he shows us all.